Hello and welcome to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show. This is Dean Swain. Episode 235 with me, as it is a Games Club episode, is Mads and Chris. How are you doing, guys?
Good. This is all a bit different, isn't it?
It is a bit with me being here.
Nice having Dean along for, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wheel out the 8-bit computers and Dean's sure to be there. Yeah.
Yes, of course, of course.
Because I love the real hardware so much. I would never say that I like emulation more, would I?
No, well, too much of that make you go blind.
Otherwise, don't we, Dean?
Yeah, what episode was that I said that on?
I think it was the second or third one, right, Chris?
Second or third one.
I think it was the very, very first one, before you started getting back into your hardware.
I was young and stupid. Take no notice of the first episode.
But Steve, obviously, at some point as well, did confess his love for RoboCop. So we've all been there.
Yeah.
Dig deep enough, there are skeletons in all of our closets, podcast
there
advice.
There are.
Indeed. And this episode is a special one, actually, because we've decided, based on some listener feedback, to split up the Game Club episodes into two. So this one is all about voting for the next, or picking the candidates for voting for the next month of the Game Club, of course. And the theme this time is the BBC Micro, the Beep. So we will be going through 9 different BBC Micro games and whittling it down to just 3 that you listeners can vote on.
And just to give a bit of context as to why we felt like changing it up, is we had some feedback that sometimes not everybody likes the current game or the previous game, so they may not listen to... God, they don't listen to one of our episodes? They may not listen to an episode if they don't necessarily like the game, so then they wouldn't hear the whittling down of the long list to the short list that goes forward to the vote that we would normally do at the end of the Game Club episode. So we thought that this might be a little bit more inclusive. The episode title will tell everyone what it is we're talking about, and hopefully we'll get a few more people joining in on the vote, because that's always good to get some participation.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So guys, before we get into it, what have you been up to for the past couple of weeks since we last recorded?
I've been playing on my little Game & Watch, Super Mario Brothers one, which is rather nice. It's because I was supposed to be recording an episode with Steve last Friday, because that's when the thing was released, and most people received theirs on the Friday, and Nintendo let me down. Mine didn't turn up until the Saturday, which I think Matt had a pop at me about first world problems and all. So I've been playing that a lot, and my boy absolutely loves it, because it does include the original Game & Watch, I think it was the first release, ball, which sees you juggling balls, and it speeds up and gets faster and faster. And it includes a version of that where you can either put Mario's head on the body or Luigi's.
Yeah.
And that's great fun. It's a simple affair, but that's really good. And I'm finding playing the actual Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 on it quite tricky. It's quite a small screen. The controls, very tight together. But it works well. It's decent. So, I've been spending a bit of time doing that. Other than that, not much really gaming-wise. A little bit of arcade gaming here and there, but... not really delved into anything too deeply recently.
So did you notice somebody already hacked the little Game & Watch?
I did, yeah. What I would rather, cause I think they're just putting NES games on it, aren't they?
The hack I saw, there was this guy who, I think he was the first one to actually hack it. Maybe it was even a day before it was released, because he got his hands on it early.
Yeah.
So he was only just loading actually the same ROM, but a slightly modified ROM. So it said hacked instead of Nintendo or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But the main problem with actually doing a hack for this machine seems to be that they haven't connected the data pins to the USB-C connector at the site. It's only for powering. There's no data connections at all. So if you want to hack this sometime in the future, it seems you will have to take it apart. And that will probably mean we won't see that many hacks for it, because most people wouldn't want to completely take it apart every time they need to sideload a new game onto it.
No, and I wouldn't see the point of just putting NES games on it. If you could put different Game & Watch games on it.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. But NES games, you can play those on so many different handhelds anyway. So
yeah, and to be honest, the best way of playing all of the old Game & Watch games is a Nintendo DSi, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, all of the original Game & Watch, at least the dual screen ones, were released on the DSi, weren't they, in the eShop?
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. They were really faithful. Good. Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, so I did have, it's getting the Game & Watch, I have been playing, because I've got my, the first one I ever got was Pinball, which is a dual screen one. I've got that right in front of me now.
Yeah.
And I love them. But a lot of people find the games a bit too simplistic. But myself, I'm one of these people who, I don't get hours and hours to play games, so 15 minutes on a game here and there is great for me. So I still find them very playable.
Yeah, me too. My little, I've only got one. That's Donkey Kong Jr. And that still gets playtime a lot, actually. It's standing right in front of me when I work, so I can all just pick it up and play 5 minutes. It's a beauty. But it's just run out of batteries, and I can't find those little cells right now. So
I've got a pack of them here, Matt.
Yeah.
I have to have them on standby just in case.
I'm quite surprised how many people have actually used them, to be honest, and do actually seem to be playing on them. Because like you, Dean, I mean, I don't need another platform on which to play Super Mario Bros.
No, I've got to admit, it's a great novelty, but I do wish that they had put some more, and there goes my neighbour cutting something.
Virtual reality advanced lawnmower simulator next VR.
Yeah, we're working on the sequel, it's going to be great.
Sounds like a chainsaw though this time.
Chainsaw Massacre edition, yeah. Mm. Oh my god, can it get any louder? right, what was I saying? Yeah, I do wish that they had included some more Game & Watch games on it rather than the Super Mario NES games, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I switched mine on, had a look at it. Played that song. That is quite cool that you guys shared on.
Did you feel underwhelmed by it though, Chris? Because you'd already played the games. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as I said, it's a faithful emulation of Super Mario Bros. And what we know as the Lost Levels, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the original Super Mario Bros. But I've got a Famicom and I've got a Switch with the online service and I've got various hacked machines that I can play Super Mario Bros. On. I don't need another platform to play it on. I didn't buy it to play it, to be honest. I bought it because it's a novelty to have, and it's nice to have as part of my collection, but probably like my NES Mini and my SNES Mini, I don't expect really I'm going to turn it on that much.
Yeah.
But I knew that going in there. That's what I was buying it for, really. Mm. Yeah, I won't ever sell it. It will just form part of my collection. But yeah, if I wanted to go back and play Super Mario Bros., I'd probably get the Famicom out and load it up on that.
Yeah,
to be honest.
So well, I think that's fair enough. I think that's how a lot of people have felt. When I first saw it, I mentioned it on an episode a while back. I really wanted it, and I'm pleased I've got it. But I do wish that, I was hoping that there's 35 Easter eggs on this thing. I was hoping that there'd be at least another Game & Watch game hidden.
Mm.
And it doesn't seem to be the case. I might be wrong, but it doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty light offering if you're looking for a games machine. But if you're looking for a novelty history,
yeah, it's more
piece
of a collector's item, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, and I think it's great for that. Mm. Yeah, but as a games machine, it doesn't really stack up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So okay, how about you guys? Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, so I've been... I've got a PS5.
Oh, yes.
Which is jolly nice, but it's gone away for Christmas now. I fired it up just to...
Just to test it.
Well, to test it, inverted commas. I wanted to test it. I actually didn't test it other than a very, very, very quick go at Astro's Playroom, which is the Sony-produced platformer, which is built in as a bit of a proof of concept tech demo, showing off the dual sensors features, which by the way, I know it's been well reported by now, but that controller is a thing of absolute marvel. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
The form factor, the size of it fits so well, and then these kind of haptic triggers on the controller are. I think it's a real, actually, kind of evolutionary step forward for gaming, because they are going to completely change the way it feels to play a game. And I think this is the thing about this generation. I don't want to spend too long on this because we're here to talk about old games. But I think with this new generation, I think it's not about really the way the game looks. You know, in the past when we've gone from generation to generation, you see screenshots or a video and you think, oh, wow, that's next gen. I think with this generation, it's more about the way the games are going to feel to play. And right. Therefore, I think to really get a true next-gen experience, you've actually got to get hands-on with the thing and feel it. I mean, the loading times are instant, almost instant. There's no kind of loading at all. The game's just come on. And the other reason I wanted to do it is PS Plus, they've released a free PS5 game this month that you need to log in and you need to add that to your library, otherwise you lose. It's a game called Bug Snacks, which looks like an interesting little game. So I wanted to fire it up, but I was very good. I then powered down and I boxed it all back up again, and it is now, my wife has hidden it from me, and it will just be just like, I'll be rocking like it was when I was 11.
Can you do me a favour on Christmas Day when you open it up? Can you really act really surprised as if you didn't realise you was getting it?
Yeah. Well, I want, you know, I was quite painstakingly repackaging it as well, because I do want to have... Can I have it now? But when I open it on Christmas Day, I do want it to feel like a new machine.
Yeah.
But other than that, retro-wise, picked up... Well, this isn't really retro, but I picked up Bikers on the Next, Cavern Games.
Yeah, have you played much of it?
I've had a brief go. I need to spend more time on it. Yeah. But from what I've played, it plays quite nicely.
Yeah. So it's a hang-on for the next, right?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, and he says in the manual that was, yeah, he makes no, makes, yeah. I think he's even copied, has he copied the box art, Dean?
The box art, but the stage select screen is pretty identical.
Yeah. It plays really well. Again, it's shows you just what the Next can do. And it's a different kind of game than a lot of the others that have come out so far. So I think we're going to try and talk to him at some point.
We are, yeah. He's a fan of the show, the author. So Andrew, hello. Yeah.
It's very impressive, very impressive. Yeah. And I'll be interested to hear him. Yeah, having spoken with our friend Paul Weller over at Sun Team, I'll be interested to hear about how his development process is different, because it's a very different kind of game than the likes of the games that Paul does.
Yeah,
that's going to be quite interesting. Mm. What about you, Mads? What have you been up to?
Yeah, not a lot, actually. So I haven't picked up an Xbox Series X or a PS5, as you know. I actually weren't even remotely interested. But then Steve showed us all these nice tricks the new controller can do, and I really, really want to get my hands on one now. But looking around on local marketplaces, they're being sold for twice the retail price right now. So I'm going to have to wait till next year, I think. Yeah. But retro gaming-wise, the only thing I've been doing is actually playing a tiny bit of Truxton and really enjoying that. Such a beautiful game. That is, of course, the game we're playing right now in the Game Club. And Chris, you are far ahead of me, so I really need to get into that.
That's what I wanted to ask you, have either of you played the arcade version at all yet of Truxton?
I've got it ready to go on MAME. I am going to play it before we record the Truxton episode, just to compare. It probably needs a lot harder.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with the arcade version than I am the Mega Drive version. I will give it a try.
The Mega Drive version is a beauty. I mean, it's such... The Mega Drive is just the perfect home for arcade conversions, isn't it? The 16-bit arcade conversions.
Yeah.
It's really smooth. Well. It's quite a slow-moving game, actually, for a shoot-em-up. But it's very smooth. There are lots of sprites on screen at the same time. A huge number of bullets on screen, and it's just... It just works. It's the perfect shoot-em-up for me.
I look forward to talking next time, Mads, about... I love it. I really, really love it, but I don't really know why.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably because I haven't really got that much experience with shmups. But
you can't keep on using that excuse, mate, because you've been playing plenty of shmups the past 3 years with us. So you're a bit of a shmup
expert.
Just be
like me. Admit it. I'm rubbish at them.
I'm rubbish. I am.
Chris isn't rubbish. He's brilliant. He's got the fifth best score right now.
Fourth
best score, and he's really doing well. No worry.
I'd love to crack a million. But that feels like such a leap from where I am. That level 4 is so hard.
So for comparison, Dean, I think I'm at the 300 700,000 and Chris is at 700,000 right now. Right.
760. Yeah. Dean, if you post a score, mate, you'd be the 30th participant in the high score competition this month.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. After I've recorded this episode, I've got the Mega Drive next to me. I will switch it on and give it a go.
If you can get 450,000, you push Matt out of the top 10.
It's very unlikely I'll get that much. I'm rubbish at those bullet hell shooters. And
I shouldn't want Matt to get pushed out the top 10, but there's part of me that thinks it'd be really funny.
I agree.
Come on, Dean. Yeah, so I love Truckster, mate. I'm looking forward to chatting about it when we record, probably next week. But it's absolute beauty.
Yeah, that's a great game. I'm looking forward to it as well. So, guys, do you have any news you'd like to just cover before we go into the actual BBC Micro Games?
Not really for me. I think I'll save... I have got a few bits, but I think I'll save them for when we talk about Truxton. What about you, Dean?
Just one bit of news, really, that grabbed my interest was that there's a clone of the ZX Spectrum Next, of the Bald, that's been released. Which is quite interesting. It shows that there is a demand there. I think it goes for €115. Obviously, you don't get the sleek case because they haven't got the rights to use the case. But the actual board itself, as far as I know, it's 100% of a clone. It does exactly what the original Next does. So I find that quite interesting. But yeah, other than that, not much
out
there.
What about the firmware, Dean? Is that proprietary?
I'm guessing that the firmware will work on this. It must do.
Is it open source firmware?
Yes,
it's
open source. Yeah, the whole project, apart from the design of the case, as far as I'm aware, is open source.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So this was a Spanish project, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. It's FPGA, as the original is. So yeah.
Yeah, pretty
interesting. I thought.
So anyone could do that then, I suppose, couldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, if you've got the means to do it, I wouldn't know where to start.
No, me neither.
No, me neither. So for fans of DOS gaming, I just have to mention that ExoDOS 5 has been released. So if you know what ExoDOS is, you probably know where to find it as well. And that is a beautiful package of everything you ever want DOS gaming-wise.
I'm in love.
That
is the most exciting thing that happened to me in the past week, PS5 included.
It's a brilliant package, mate. I would still, of course, encourage everybody to go on to goodoldgames.com and find these games and buy them if you actually enjoy them and want to play them for a longer period of time. But for just like diving in and trying different games and seeing what you like, this is the perfect package.
Yeah, and some of these games as well are freeware now or abandonware. I know abandonware is a bit of a grey area, as we talked about before, but not all of these games do have protection these days. But yeah, for those that do, if you can buy them, obviously we would encourage anybody to pick them up through legal means.
Yes.
But what this does, it completely configures your experience. It's brilliant. I mean, it uses Launchbox as a front end, and I downloaded the light version, so I think in itself was about 56 gig. And then when you search for a game, it only installs the files when you play it the first time. Yep. And it completely configures your setup right for you.
So that's the trick there. It's 7,500 DOS games that can be played on demand. You can just download them on demand. And not only are the games there, there are bespoke configurations for all of them. So somebody's tested that this actually works in DOSBox or whatever they use. Sometimes it's ScumVM and different emulators to run them. But they've actually gone in and configured it so that they know this is going to work. You don't have to do any of the faffing
and
yourself.
And you've not had any issues on any of the games that you've tested, no?
So I've only tested like 10 to see what it is, and they just worked. So no, I haven't.
I was playing System Shock for about an hour yesterday. Yeah. Just brilliant. Works.
So one thing I haven't tried, there's a selection of 3DFX games there as well. So with the probably must have some kind of glide emulation on them. I haven't tried that, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that actually works.
The only thing I don't like is that they do have these games go right up to 2020 as well.
Do they?
There's the likes of Curse of Ravenstein is on there, which I really do think, guys, I mean, if you are going to download this, please, if you are going to play the indie games, please do go and buy them.
Yeah. Because, I thought this only ran until like 95 or 96. Okay. No, so that's 20. bad form. Everything that's on there that you can actually buy, please go buy it, of course. Lots and lots of stuff that's on there is impossible to get by these days. And as you say, probably there's no copyright on a lot of it anymore.
Yeah. But if you can, we would implore you, please, especially with the indie stuff and all the stuff you can buy legally, do go and buy it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So should we get into it?
Let's get into it. So I think format-wise, I think it's going to be pretty much as we were. We're not going to change up the format of whittling these down. We've each brought three games.
Yep.
And we're going to take turns of going through the games we've selected, and then we will be ruthless and cutthroat and eliminate my favourite bit.
So we've all been playing our own games. We haven't played each other's games, so we're going to be trying to sell each other on the idea of these games. So I've chosen three games, of course. I've got Citadel, Imogen, and Exile. And Dean, you've got three games as well.
I've got Arkanoid, Striker's Run, and Blagger.
And Chris, what are your games?
I've got Repton, Castle Quest, and the Mighty Elite.
So let's see, who wants to go first? I think, seeing as Dean is the actual guest here on the game club, I think he should go first then. So
our
so
leader Dean is the guest.
Yes. Okay. Sell us on one of your games, Dean.
All right, I'll go for Arkanoid first of all, which it's pretty easy to explain. It's an arcade conversion of the Taito classic. It's a bat and ball game. So, it's just a very nice conversion. It was converted by, Imagine Software, Peter someone or other. I know he went on to do RoboCop on the Atari ST. It's just a fine conversion. It's one of the, because with the BBC, and I'm sure you guys found this, it's mostly keyboard controls, and obviously with Arkanoid, you only need three keys, left, right, and fire, to fire the ball or to fire a weapon. So it's nice and easy to control for anyone who's going to be playing this either on the original system or via emulation. It's a nice, simple game, and it's an absolute classic. I play this game on pretty much every format I own, if it's available. And yeah, I can spend hours playing this. I'm not very great at it, so it means going over the same levels a lot of the time, but it's just an absolute classic in my eyes, and the BBC conversion is really, really nice.
Yeah, so Arkanoid is a game I definitely spent a lot of time on the arcade back in the day. I love that ball controller that they had to control it with.
The spinner.
Exactly. So that was great. And I do own that. I actually bought Arkanoid 2 for the Famicom, just for the bespoke controller.
Yeah,
this one with
yeah.
the little
I
wheel
envy
as well.
That.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to play it. But I used to play this on the C64 a lot. So it would have like these little... But when you switched levels, I think, there was this little piece of music.
Yeah, very catchy.
Yeah, and then the sound effects. So do we have that as well here on the BBC?
Yeah, it's got its sound effects. Obviously, they're more beeps and bops rather than the arcade sound. But yeah, I like it. I think it's a very nice conversion. It looks nice.
Yeah.
On the BBC.
Sounds good. So, Chris, you want to go with one of your games?
Okay, so I will pick off. There's a lot of BBC games that I could have chose. A lot of BBC micro games appear to be puzzle platformers or puzzle arcade adventures, which I absolutely love that genre of games. There's so many to choose from. But I actually went with one that I've had a lot of but never played, and Repton is my first game, written by 16-year-old Tim Tyler. 16! Christ, 16. And published by Superior Software in 1985. So I haven't really... The only game I played in preparation for this was Elite, but I've been reading about Repton. And it's a Boulder Dash-like game, but less frantic and less arcadey, more emphasis on exploration and puzzles. You got to find your way around a maze, find keys to move on to the next level. I think there's about 12 levels. and blessedly uses a password save feature, so you don't have to go back and repeat all of the levels from the start. But I believe that if you do manage to finish level 12 using the passwords, the game will say, you have beaten the game, but now try go back and playing it from start to finish without saving. So that'll be a challenge for us if it gets chosen. It looks like a really nice game. I think the sequels probably develop it and flesh it out a little bit more. But I struggle with going straight into a series I've not played by going into one of the sequels. I always like to go back to the start and see where it started. And I think we'd have a pretty good time with Repton. Have you guys played it?
I have, but many years ago.
It's quite a famous BBC micro game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably while I was at school.
Yeah,
it's a good game. It's not really my sort of thing, but I have fond memories of it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a common theme with the games I've chosen, and you saying it's not really your thing, Dean.
Well, there's not many games that are my thing.
Did you play it, Matt?
Nope, but I've read about Repton 1, 2, and 3, I think. So it's definitely a title I've heard about before. But asking me if I've played something on the BBC Micro is going to be no most of the time, because, as you guys know, I don't have a BBC Micro, and I've actually never, ever touched one. It's not a machine that we saw here in
I'm touching one there, man.
Yeah, me too. I'm touching the Model B Plus now.
Yeah, well, stop fondling your computers. And
I've got an Electron here as well. Quite nice.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have a Micro as well, but I'm going to be emulating this time because, like Dean, I don't want the faff of all that hardware. Easy emulation. Yeah, well, so I've actually picked 3 games as well, and they all turned out to be kind of puzzly platformers. I'm going to start with Citadel, which is actually developed by a Danish guy. So you'd say Michael Jacobsen, I guess. He's called Michael Jacobsen. I had to choose that as well, and it's one of the games that I've been doing a lot of research about what people consider being the classic beep games, because as you know, I don't have a lot of experience with that myself. So it's one of the games that a lot of people bring up, Citadel, and it's a puzzle platformer. And because I'm a sucker for story, I'm gonna, for all of my games here, just read the story part for you, so you know what you're going into. So here we go, Citadel. Marduk the dictator has established a base in an old deserted castle. His slaves have built a teleport which will soon be used to transport the alien invasion force from the planet Kodar to Earth. Your mission is to destroy the teleport system before it's too late. Find and bring the 5 crystals to the temple on the island, thus activating the teleport system. Teleport yourself to the alien planet and bring back the bejeweled figurine which you will find in Marduk's palace. When brought back to Earth, a field of antimatter will obliterate the teleport system and the invasion will be averted. So there's your mission there. You've got 100 screens, if I recall correctly, and it's a classic puzzle platformer, really. You can choose between controlling a boy or a girl sprite. There's no difference in gameplay at all. It's just a boy or a girl, so you have to choose your gender when you start.
It's quite cool for the 1980s, that, isn't it? Just that in itself is pretty cool. You can do that.
That was actually quite special. I read that in a lot of reviews, that was something that wasn't really seen before at that time. Mm. So, yeah. But there's no gameplay difference at all. It's just a different sprite, really. And but even that, I mean, having that limited space, spending extra space just to do that was something special, of course. Yeah. So it's you can only pick up 2 things at the time. You have a small inventory. You have quite a funny energy system as well. You start up with 150 energy, and that's the only way you can die. That's when your energy is completely depleted. So when you touch monsters, you don't die, but you lose some of that energy. And you also use that energy to shoot, because there's these evil monks. I mean, most enemies can't be shot or killed in this game, but the monks can. And if you shoot them in the face with this sabre, it's a spell, it says, you just use 1 point of energy as well. So you have to make sure you actually hit them, because if you hit a monk and you kill him, you get that point of energy back. But a lot of the time you'll be missing. So it's there's kind of a balancing act with your energy system there. You can pick up new energy walking around as well. And every 25 or 26 seconds, something along those lines, you lose just 1 point of energy as well to keep you on your toes. You need to keep moving. And it is a puzzler. Every you have to figure out, I need to pick this thing up and use over here. And there are trampolines you can jump on, and there's all sorts of stuff to traverse and go through here. So it's it sounds like an interesting game I'd like to dive into for a month. So Citadel would it be is my first choice. So have you guys played Citadel?
No.
Yeah, it sounds right up my street, though. That there sounds right up my street. What is there a save game mechanic, Mads, or a save game feature?
I actually don't know, mate. I didn't. I've only been playing it on the on an emulator, so I haven't really thought about saving. I can just do a save state.
It just it puts me off a little bit if there's no save feature, because just from having to start again always, you think, oh God.
Yeah, that's
true. But that sounds right up my street. That sounds really good. And good old Mickey Jaco, the old good old Dame Mickey Jaco making it as well.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
Dean. Circling back.
You want another one?
Yep.
Okay, we'll go for Strikers Run. Yeah, this was released in 1986 by Superior Software, developed by Chris Roberts and Philip Meller. This is it's a very early, like, run-and-gun kind of game. You could almost mistaken it for, like, a very early Halo. It's a bit of a strange one because you've got not only bad guys on the screen, but you've got your own army guys on the screen as well, which you can accidentally kill, or just kill them if you want to for the fun of it. But the idea is obviously not to kill them and just go for the bad guys. And there's helicopters flying about which are trying to bomb you as well. And if you run along far enough, you'll find a helicopter. You can jump into that, fly up, and then start bombing the guys on the ground and shooting other helicopters out of the sky. It's graphically, it looks very BBC Micro. You know, it's got those rather bright colours, and it doesn't run. It's not the smoothest of games. It has aged somewhat, but it's really playable, and it's one of those games I don't, outside of the BBC Micro community, probably not a lot of people are aware of it. So I just thought I'd bring it to everyone's attention so they can either give it a look or give it a try if it doesn't get picked.
Nice. Had you heard of this, Mads?
No, I haven't. I've had a look at some videos and some pictures. It looks really colourful and quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it is.
It looks very BBC Micro, as you say, it Dean, does, doesn't yeah. it? You couldn't mistake it.
No.
It's obviously, a lot of games, they look like ports of the Spectrum version or whatever. But this definitely is a title that just looks BBC Micro.
This looks like something I'd really like to play. So,
yeah, one of our listeners on Discord, actually, since we released the Silent Hill episode, did one of the great things about this format and splitting it out is that we have been receiving some recommendations from listeners on Discord, and actually Strikers Run has been mentioned at least once by somebody. So it is clearly something that people do feel fondly about.
Yeah,
interesting one.
Yeah.
Back to me.
Back to you, Chris.
So I'm going to pick off the behemoth Elite. So what is there to be said about Elite? My God. So Ian Bell and David Braben written game published by Acorn Soft way back in 1984. It's a seminal game. It's a legendary game, which the series is still going today with Elite Dangerous, and you can trace its DNA right through to modern games like No Man's Sky, etc. I've never played Elite other than a go. I spent an hour or so on it last weekend. Couldn't dock at a space station. Got a bit frustrated and turned it off. And then looking at some guides, I've been promised that actually once you do get the knack of it, it's very easy. But I was struggling like mad. But there are some great resources out there on the internet. So Ian Bell himself has released scans of the manual, and it came with a novella. And the manual itself is pages and pages long. It's clearly a very deep game. And I suppose the only drawback to it, I think it might be slightly difficult to configure the emulator because it uses all the function keys. And if you're trying to cross-reference the manual with the emulation, you've got to remember that the BBC Micro has an F0, which
yes.
modern keyboards don't. Mm. So you need to compensate for all that. Now, it's obviously all very doable because you can remap keys, but it might be a little bit of a barrier to entry for some people. But this is a game which you need a month, and I think after a month we might only be scratching the surface of it. But I think unless you encourage people, and I'm speaking of myself, unless I'm encouraged to really dive in there, go really deep on it for a month, I might never really play it as it's meant to be played. It's not a game that you can just dive on for 10 minutes and come away from. It's a game that you do need to invest some time. And I love games like that. And I'm worried that unless I've got an excuse to play it, I might never ever get to it. So I'd really like the game to be elite. I would. Yeah, what okay. do you guys think?
Have you played the original Mets?
No, I haven't actually. I've played haven't. The Elite Dangerous. I love that
yeah.
one.
Yeah. About Frontier?
No, don't think so.
No? Oh, I'm surprised by that. I never really got into the original game. One of my friends who had a Spectrum had it, and he enjoyed it. But I don't know, it just... I found it a bit boring, to be honest. But saying that, I did then really get into Frontier, which was the Amiga sequel. So, yeah. Which, obviously, graphically, it was a lot more enhanced compared to the wireframe graphics of the original. But, yeah, interesting game.
Do you know, ironically, I actually think the graphics hold up. They are very, very simple, obviously. They're very simple wireframe. Yeah. Models. Look,
going back to them, I think they're fine. It's just back at the time, I think... Yeah, I've always been more into the arcade games. I preferred the faster gameplay of stuff like Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, it's very different to that, isn't it? But yeah. it's one of the games for me that defines the BBC Micro. When I think about the BBC
absolutely.
Micro...
absolutely. Yeah, that's the first game, really, probably other than Granny's Garden.
Granny's Garden, and then the other one, actually, which wasn't a BBC Micro original, was it? Was Chucky Egg, because I think that was coded on the Speccy originally, wasn't it? And then ported across.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But it's one of the games, and actually, no one's chosen Chucky Egg. Kingy from RGDS is going to be massively cross with us.
I was thinking about it, but I just thought it's too obvious.
Yeah, it's kind of what I thought, yeah. And then I went with Elite.
yeah.
Well, but so guys, pick Elite, please. There you go. Pitch over.
Let's see. So my second game is a real beauty. It's I guess it's called Imogen. I think that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. So Imogen is also a puzzle platformer, and as I did the last time, I'm going to read you the story. This one is actually a bit better because the story for Citadel was a bit weird, I think. But Imogen is quite a funny story actually. So. When the townspeople of Eggmane were besieged by a monstrous fire-breathing dragon, they called for the assistance of Imogen, a local wizard with powers of metamorphosis. Is that how you say it? He could shapeshift into other beings, right? So, responding to their pleas, he transformed himself into a dragon even more powerful than the real one. The monster was quickly destroyed, but the strain of the transformation was so great that when Imogen returned to his normal state, his mind snapped. He forgot his friendship to the townspeople and used his power to destroy their crops, burn their houses, and fill the sky with black clouds so that the town was in permanent night. After a few weeks of this, a spokesman set forth to seek the advice of the greatest and wisest wizard in the land. When the great wizard had heard the story, he said, "This insanity will pass, but until that time he must be imprisoned. I shall design a cave to hold him, and your craftsmen will construct it in the mountain that overlooks the town." "How will we know when to release him?" asked the spokesman. "He will free himself when the time is right. I shall provide the spell for his release and split it in twain four times. The 16 pieces will then be placed within the cavern, and the route to each guarded by a test of stamina and intelligence. Only when he is fully recovered will he be able to retrieve the entire spell and set himself free." Imogen was secured, ready to begin his quest for freedom. So this perfectly sets the scene for this little game. You're caught inside of the mountain, and you need to figure your way how to get out. And it's a test of both intelligence and stamina, as it says. So there are 16 levels. Each has a piece of the spell, of course. And every level have, I think, four screens. And then this wizard he can transform himself into a monkey, and the monkey can climb ropes, for example, and a cat. The cat is good for jumping because it can jump a lot further than you can as the wizard, and you could be the wizard himself. There's actually a fourth transformation as well. It's only used in a single level, but I'm not going to say what that is right now because the people playing along here will probably want to have just a little bit of a surprise there as well. But you can pick up items. You can use them, of course. Items, at least for the couple of levels I've played, can only be used when you are in human form. But this is just a beautiful puzzle platformer, and it's really a puzzle. You have to walk around and take in the different screens and figure out, okay, I need to get the monkey to jump up there, climb up there, and then he can pick up that thing for me that I can use as the wizard, and then use the cat to jump to that point, and so on and so forth. So it's the perfect puzzle platformer to my mind. So I'd really like to play this one. So that's Imogen. How about you guys? Have you tried it?
Nope. Sounds good, though. I like the idea of it, Mads. Changing characters and...
Yeah, and it's... Even from the very first level I played, it's paramount that you need to learn how to use the different characters. I had to shapeshift like 10 times to get through that level. Oh, and there's the catch, actually. There's no way of dying as such, but you only have 150... shapeshifts that you can do in the entire game.
Limits is how many times can change.
Yes, so you need to think before you just shapeshift all the time, trying to figure out what to do. You need to think and plan ahead. Otherwise, you'll just have to start all over once you've used your 150 shapeshifts.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I've not tried it, but I did read about this, and this was very close to being on my list. I did choose this, didn't I? In not knowing that.
Yeah, you did. And actually, this was I did choose this myself, and it was also suggested by a listener on Discord.
Yes, it was. So, it does look really, really looks like a Speccy game, doesn't it? I think from the screenshots I've seen.
It does a bit, yeah. It does.
Yeah, it's got that kind of
really Speccy. An interesting puzzle platformer, I find.
Yeah, it does sound and look really good. Again, right up my alley. I'd love to have a go at it.
And this save features, I saw.
Yes, I read that. Yeah. It's the first thing I look out for when I'm looking at these games. Can I save?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, you've got... They're two very strong choices so far.
Indeed. So, back to you, Dean. Last game?
Yeah, last game is Blagger. By Tony Crowther. Now, originally, this was published on the C64, so it's another conversion. It's very similar to Manic Miner. You play the part of Blagger, who's a burglar, and you've got to collect keys, and then once you've collected all the keys on each screen, you head to the safe to unlock the level. And as I say, very much like Manic Miner, if you drop too far, you die. There's conveyor belts, there's platforms moving, you've got platforms that disintegrate under your feet. So those of you enjoyed Manic Miner, I think will enjoy this too. The jumping on it is a bit funky on the BBC version. it's a bit strange, but once you get used to it, I think it's a very playable game.
I had a go at this.
Yeah, you played it?
I did because I love Manic Miner, and I love those single screen collect stuff and then make it to the exit, partly because how much I love Manic Miner. So I did have a go at it. It's a bit rough, isn't it?
It is a bit, it's not the greatest conversion.
The collision detection's a bit rough. And I really like the concept of it. And maybe you're right. Maybe once you get used to it, spend a bit of time with it.
That's what I think the key is. But yeah, on the first few attempts, you might be thinking, I don't like it at all.
I did struggle because I looked at this and actually it was going to be on my list. And then I played it and was like, that is a little rough. But it's a good shout. I think, and maybe you're right, maybe give it some time, you compensate for some of the things maybe it doesn't do very well, and then there's a decent game in there.
I think if you play this and then go back to Manic Miner, you'll probably appreciate Manic Miner even more.
Just how good Manic Miner is. I think that's exactly what I thought. Having spent half an hour with it last weekend, I thought, God, Manic Miner's good.
So having said all that, I can't see any of my games getting chosen.
Well, as it is right now, one of your games will be chosen for the shortlist because
at least,
how we're going to go about this in a minute. So yeah.
Okay. No, well, I shouldn't have said that because I think one of them is pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Well, two of them are very good, but it's whether they suit playing for a month or not.
Yeah, sure.
So my final game is a game called Castle Quest. And this is, to my mind, as we are discovering, well, maybe I'm discovering, that the games that I'm drawn to on the BBC Micro are these arcade adventure / puzzle platformers, because this is exactly one of them. Written by a guy called Tony Sothcott and published by Micropower in 1985. The marketing blurb and on the box for this says it's probably the most challenging game ever devised for the BBC Micro. So, you know, if a game is styling itself in that way, it's going to be dead easy.
Yeah.
Don't you? Because it's almost a case of you protest too much. But another big thing that I've read about it, and I've not played it, but one of the other things I've read about it is that the keyboard control involves 13 keys.
That is a lot.
Which is quite a lot, isn't it? I mean, apparently there's keys to, you can scroll the screen left and right or flick the screen maybe to kind of see what's
a bit
what's
like lemmings.
Scroll. Yeah, but lemmings is all mouse control, wasn't it?
So it kind of feels
natural, but it sounds strange. But from what I've read, it's very, very good. And the puzzles are very good. And a lot of the puzzles involve how you would use everyday objects. You have to think laterally to think, okay, well, how can I use that to get through here? The aim of the game is to collect. It's quite simple. You're in a castle and you've got to find the treasure in the castle. I don't think there's anything too taxing there. But it's all about moving through the castle, solving the puzzles in an increasingly complex way. There is no save game feature, though, which feels like I'm kind of poo-pooing my own game, but you would have to go back to the start, and the measure will be just how far you can get into it, I suppose, on every playthrough. I suppose the issue with that is that as you go deeper into the game, those playthroughs are going to get longer and longer and may make it a little bit more difficult for some people to play if you can't just pick up from roughly where you left off. But I think it looks quite nice. I think it sounds quite good. I mean, some of the reviews it had were people were saying that if it wasn't for Elite, this would be the best game on the system.
So you say you need a save game feature. The Wikipedia entry says that an expert player may complete the game in around 7 minutes.
Yeah, but like all games like that, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you can. I'm sure there's people.
You can
people
spend
can
2 months figuring out how to actually complete it.
Exactly.
In 7 minutes.
I think Super Mario World can be completed in about 6 minutes, can't it? For most people,
really?
It takes about 3 months. But. Yeah, but again, you know, the beauty of the game club is, no, given some of the skill levels that we've got of people who play along with us, it wouldn't surprise me if people were getting through it in pretty short order. But you're going to have to figure out all of those puzzles and remember all of the solutions to be able to do it.
Yep.
And like all of these puzzle platformers, that's where the fun is. It's not really whizzing through it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah.
I like that one. So my final game is Exile. That was actually not my own choice. That was the one we adopted from John Wee. He had that. We actually have had that up for vote once before.
We've been here before, haven't we?
Yeah, we've been here before. Almost won last time, but it just was beaten. So we're going to give it yet another go here. And you just bragged about having 13 different keys that you could use to control Castle Quest, right? So I've just been having a look at Exile's user manual here. I've already counted 30 keys. I think that there may be 32. Not quite sure, but at least 30 keys that you need to figure out how to use.
Wowza.
Does it come with an overlay to put on the keyboard?
I'm not sure, mate. I'm not sure.
Got to read the manual, Dean.
Yes. So, as with my other games, I'm just going to have to this is yet another of those, platformer action adventure game. So I'm just going to read the story here as well. This one is a bit crazy as well. The planet Phoebus has been taken over by an exiled evil genetic engineer named Triax. In a complex warren of caves, he's built an evil world that is inhabited by eccentric robots and strange mutated creatures, such as blue monkeys, giant wasps, and sharp-toothed eyeless maggots. On the planet's surface and around the caves are scattered the debris of a previous mission, and maybe some of the members of that ill-fated venture still remain. And then you are sent there to save those guys that have crash-landed on the planet, and to find that evil professor or whatever he was, genetic engineer, Triax. This is, well, a beauty of a game for its time, but it's also a game that takes a little while to get into. I mean, I thought I was going to just play it for 10 minutes, but that's not what you do with Exile. You really need to read up on all of the different keys that you use to control your little guy there, and then you need to learn how to control him, because it's actually quite complex. He's got a jetpack on, so you can walk underground if you want. You can also fly up and down and fly left and right, and there will be like weather conditions. So sometimes it's windy, so you're going to be flying up against the wind. He'll control in another way than if he's flying with the wind instead. And lots of details in the control scheme there as well. And, I couldn't actually get off, let's call it, the first screen. It hasn't got screens. It's like smooth scrolling, and there's one huge level. That's it, which is also quite impressive for the time, and it's really huge. But I couldn't get off the first tiny little bit. I couldn't figure out what to do. So this is definitely a game that we need to spend some time with to get into it. So have any of you guys played Exile?
I've played it on the Amiga.
Yeah.
Never played the BBC version.
It's very colourful. Yeah. It's actually really looks really nice in the BBC. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not played it, but this is a game that was given a retrospective Edge 10.
Yeah.
Which is I think I mentioned that last time. Mm. And yeah, so many people think it's a classic that many people can't be wrong. It, again, probably a little bit like Elite, it's gonna probably turn off those people who want that kind of quick fix.
Yeah.
And it's going to appeal to the people who like to really go deep into a game and get to know it. So it's one that certainly is right up my street, but I do appreciate it, probably not for everyone.
Mm. Okay. So guys, we've got all our games out there now. Let's just take turns picking off one game from each other. So I think you can go first, Chris. You can pick off one of my games.
Okay.
So, Dean, what we're doing now is we're eliminating the games, of course. So you have to pick the game you don't like.
Yeah.
So, Chris, which one of my games do you want to eliminate?
Tricky this. So, Dean is a little bit easier for me, but yours is tricky, Mads, because all three of those games are games that I think I'd enjoy and I would quite like to play, but I can only choose one. And Imogen, there's a lot about Imogen that I like the sound of. I'm not gonna eliminate Exile, because although Exile daunts me a little bit, I would love to understand what all the fuss is about, and I would love to get into it. So
30
I am,
keys, man. 30 keys.
Yeah, but we've got a month to learn them. Loads of time. So although Christmas is there as well, so Exile on over Christmas. Mm, yeah, sounds good.
Mm.
So. It's a toss up between Imogen and Citadel for me, and what I've seen and read and listening to your pitches for both, I think actually Imogen just about shades it. They're probably quite similar, but there's just something about Imogen which pulls me in. As I said, it was almost going to be on my shortlist, so I am going to eliminate Citadel of yours, Mads.
Yep, fair enough. I'm removing Citadel that from the both. List here.
And Dean, on yours, so...
So you want to eliminate two at the same time, or should we just alternate a bit?
Okay.
Otherwise, it'll be Dean and I just deciding what wins in the end, right? Yeah.
Okay, go on then, Dean. So, you pick off one of mine?
Yeah, Dean, pick off one of Chris's then.
Right, so Chris...
Fill your boots.
Oh, dear. I think I'm going to have to go for Castle Quest.
Okay. Why?
I don't like the sound of it.
Fair enough.
What, it's all in the name?
Nice and simple.
No,
nice and
simple. No, it's not. It's just, I don't know. It's, I just prefer the sound of the other games, you know, how you've described them.
Yeah, fair enough.
They appeal to me a bit more.
Yeah, probably the one on my list that I'd choose first as well.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to pick off one of Dean's then. So, let's see. I do love Arkanoid. So that's going to stay there for now. Striker's Run really sounds interesting as well, and looks really good from what I've had a look at. I haven't played it myself, but it looks really good. And Blacker, I'm going to choose Blacker because you both said right something choice. About controls not being really tight. And while it looked really good, I have played Manic Miner before, so Blacker has to go.
Give it a go, Mads.
Give
it a go and appreciate Manic Miner that little bit more.
I feel like we're probably doing it a massive disservice because there's probably a great game.
Oh, it's got its fans, I think. But I've never played the C64 original.
No, me neither.
I need to give that a try.
Yeah, give it a go, Mads. It is quite funny, and you will appreciate Manic Miner.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So, Dean, could you pick off one of mine then?
Yep. So,
So we've got Imogen and Exile left there.
Well, I'm glad I didn't have this choice.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm going to go for Imogen.
So you're going to pick off Imogen or you want to choose Imogen?
No, I'm going to pick off Imogen.
Okay.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I prefer Exile.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've played it. I know what to expect. I know it's a great game. So.
Yeah.
I actually feel quite sad about that. I probably would have done the same thing, but Imogen, it looks like such a good game.
So Imogen is a game I will play regardless because I was really
that's
fond
it.
Of it.
You know, because we're striking it off, it doesn't mean I think people should give all these a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
We're not striking them out of history.
No.
They still exist.
Fair enough. So let's see. Chris, I need to pick off one of yours, don't I?
Yeah, go on then.
Or did I pick off the last one? I already forgot.
No, Dean picked off Castle Quest because he didn't like the name.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. So I'm going to choose one of yours then. So you've got Elite and Repton left.
You know where this needs to go, Mads.
So I know where you wanted to go.
Shooting through the stars, trading, a bit of piracy, bounty hunting.
Yeah, I know where you wanted to go. That's for certain. I'm actually not quite sure. I've got this one thing against Elite, and that's apart from it being probably a very, very, very slow game to play, so we won't have that many playing along. It's December, so people won't have that much time. And the final thing is, Elite is such a huge name on the platform. So if people want to pick up a BBC Micro and check out some games, they'll probably be checking out Elite anyway. So everybody's going to be voting for it because Elite is there on the list. And that's actually the reason I'm picking it off. Because I think we should probably try some of the smaller titles, something that everybody hasn't heard about before. So
it's like a dagger through the heart.
I'm sorry, mate. And to be honest, I prefer trying Repton myself.
You're elitist. That's what you are.
Yeah, sorry.
Matt, I'm going to be spending more of this month playing games that aren't the Game Club game than the game that is at this rate.
So,
all the games I want to play.
Your turn, Chris.
Okay, so I've got to take out one of Dean's.
Yep.
So this feels easy-ish. Okay, now I'm going to change my mind. So I got into this thinking, out of Dean's three, Arkanoid was the one. Because I love Arkanoid. I'm a proper sucker for that game. I mean, if you give me a platform, I'll want to play Arkanoid. And I love Batty and all of the various different clones of that bat and ball kind of game. I really, really enjoy those games. I've played a lot of them. And I suppose, sort of taking the leaf out of Mads's book, removing the big name maybe is something that might be fun. So I'm actually going to eliminate Arkanoid and give... I mean, Striker's Run is probably a very famous game in its own right. It's just the fact that I hadn't heard of it, really. So I'm actually going to let Striker's Run go up against the other two, and I'm going to eliminate Arkanoid.
Okay, sounds good. I think we've got a...
Sorry, Dean. I know you love
right.
a bit
no,
of Arkanoid.
No, that's fine.
I think we've got a strong lineup here. Striker's Run, Repton, and Exile. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suspect eyes and fingers and mouses and pointers will be drawn to Exile.
Perhaps.
I hope the others get some representation as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, all right, guys. Well, Dean, I assume you're going to join us on the main episode as well.
I will, I'll join in.
Good man, good man. So that'll be coming up at the end of December. Before then, Mads and I need to talk some Truxton.
Yes.
Yep.
And we'll be doing that very shortly. This hopefully will go out on Monday, the 23rd of November. The poll will go live on that date and will run for best part of a week. So head on over to Twitter, Discord, and have a look for the poll link. We'll make it as obvious as we can. You'll find it if you ask us. Do ask us. And register your vote, and let's see what Christmas 2020 game we'll be playing.
Yeah, indeed. Cool. Yeah, I look forward to seeing what we'll be playing. I will definitely be playing Imogen as well. That's I'm actually just going to do that today, I think.
And I'll be playing Elite on my own.
Yes.
Oh,
I know.
Sounds good. For me. Sounds good.
Yeah. So, should we? Anything you guys want to add? I mean, we will thank our wonderful patrons as we always do on the main Game Club episode. But just a big shout out in the meantime to everyone on Discord and our amazing patrons, guys. Anyone you guys want to shout out?
We'd better shout out Steve and Matt. I've recorded two episodes with those that have been lost due to their dodgy Macs.
Yes.
But, you know, they're always slagging off the PC, and their Macs let us down. So I will be recording with those two again tonight. So I'm doing two shows in one day.
Good luck.
But let's see if it ends up actually being two shows or just two recordings, right?
Well, it's going to be, let's see.
So you've got fingers about five cumulative hours of recording and no episodes to show for it.
Yeah, terrible. But yes, big thanks to all our patrons and all our listeners in general.
Yeah. Mads, any shout outs from you before we sign off?
Nah, I'm fine. I'm fine today.
All been said.
Yeah, everything's been said. We'll do all that stuff on the big episodes instead. No worries.
Don't forget to play Truxton, mate. I need. It'd be nice to have a little bit. Dean, you need to knock Matt out of the top 10.
Mm.
And Mads, come on, let's have a bit of last week competition.
Yep.
Otherwise, it'll be 2-0, and there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, I know. But let's see if I can find the time, mate.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we'll speak soon. And thank you, Dean, for joining us. And,
well, thank you for inviting me.
Speak again in December.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Take care, all.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission.